Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
I leaned over to Amy a second ago. I said, man, we need to celebrate. It just seems very subdued today. Today is a day of celebration. Amen. Today is a day that we're supposed to be happy. See, we honored Good Friday this past Friday night. For those of you that don't know, I'm the pastor. I didn't just jump up here for the heck of it. Okay, I forgot to do that. I know we have a lot of guests that are here today. I am Aaron Argo. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Temple, and I want to thank you for joining us today and celebrating with us. But today is a day where it's okay. You know, it's okay to get loud in church. It's okay to shout in church. Come on. Because I seem to remember in the Bible where it talks about shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Okay, y'all didn't catch me right there. You didn't get the... It said, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, somebody. It's okay to shout. I know you don't have to be loud in church, but we get to. We get to be excited. We get to be loud. We've been traveling over the past few weeks, or last week and this past Friday. We've been traveling through history. Through three different messages that we're going to be talking about. And I've been doing a series called Before, During, and After. You see, our first purpose was to take a look, or last Sunday, our purpose was to take a look at what was going on in the days before the cross. What did Jesus do before the cross? What was the path that He took? What was His purpose before the cross? We saw that last week on Palm Sunday, how Christ did everything to prepare for the cross. He prepared the way to the cross with the details that he took care of before He got there. The detail of the donkey, the details of the fact that he had to ride in on an animal that nobody else had ridden on, because that was the tradition for kings. And He set everything up, all of the things, all these details that we overlook many times were the things that He did to prepare the way to the cross. He also prepared others for the cross by teaching them how to serve people, how to wash feet, and how to be a towel bearer when nobody else would hold it. He prepared for others. He told them that titles and stature mean absolutely nothing, but serving and loving is what He cared about. He prepared Himself for the cross by spending time with His Father one last time in the garden before the cross. In the next talk that we had, we took a look at the love that was displayed during the cross. If you missed Friday night, we had a great time Friday night. There was such a sweet atmosphere in this room and a sweet presence of God. We came in, we kept it short. Amy was, or actually Amy and a few others were sort of making fun of me. They were like, Zach told me this morning that he and somebody else were sitting there talking. I hope you don't mind me telling this, Zach, but if you do, I'm sorry. But he said he was talking to somebody else and they were taking bets. They were like, no, there ain't no way we're getting out by 7:30. There ain't no way. Because I told them we were going to be 1 hour. We're going to go 6:30 to 7:30. Because I knew people had things to do. And you ain't got to draw it all out. That's why I want to get you guys out pretty quick today. Because I know you have family get-togethers and things to go to. But at the same time, the Word of God needs to be heard. And we need to celebrate that fact. But Zach was telling me that they were talking about it and kidding around with each other. There ain't no way. The moment after the service, I had two or three people come to me and say, the moment I said, you are dismissed, the clock slipped over to 3:30 or 7:30. Not 3:30. That would have been a long service. But it clicked over to 7:30. So we got out on time, but the most important thing was that we talked about the love that was on display during the cross. That Good Friday love was on display in everything that Christ experienced. as he walked the streets of Golgotha, beaten and bruised and broken, he bleeding from everywhere that you could see. He walked the streets of Golgotha. He showed what real love looked like. During the cross, his love was still forgiving others. When he looked, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he looked at the thief on the cross, and he said, "Listen, today you'll be with me in paradise." He even looked at the women who were weeping as he walked by, as he was carrying the cross. And he looked at them, and he said, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for Jerusalem, because they're the ones that need it." He was still broken and forgiving of the people that were putting him on the cross. During the cross, his love was still forgiving others. Aren't you glad that while he went to that cross, he still forgave us for everything we've ever done, everything we'll ever go through, anything that we struggle with, he has forgiven us. During the cross, he still forgave others. During the cross, his love endured to the end without one thought of giving up or one concern for himself. I've done a message in the past that talks about the attitude of the cross. And every time you look at what Jesus spoke from the cross, we watched a video about it Friday night. Almost every single time, he doesn't speak of himself. He speaks of himself twice on the cross. He says, or three times total. He says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me?" He also says, "I thirst" at one point. And then he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And that really wasn't for himself. It was for the people. So he's really twice he spoke about himself. Every other time he spoke from the cross, he spoke about other people. He spoke about forgiving them. He looked at John and said, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." He was, even while he was on the cross, he was providing a life for his own mother. His care was for others everywhere he went. And he endured all the way to the end. We talked about how he could have come off of that cross. He could have said, "Nope, this is enough. I've had enough pain. I've had enough hurt. I've had enough problems. You guys are down there gambling for my clothes. I'm hanging up here naked in front of the world and everybody else. That's enough. I'm done with you." And he could have called down 100 legions of angels down upon the earth and wiped it clean. But he chose to endure the cross. Why? Because of the love that he had for us. During the cross, his love was forgiving others. During the cross, his love endured the pain and all the way to the end. And during the cross, his love was still in control to his very last breath. No one took his life. He freely gave it. He said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And it wasn't until he decided it was time that he passed. This world had no control over him. The enemy had no control over him. Before the cross, he was preparing. During the cross, he was displaying. But after the cross. Somebody say after. Like, nudge the person next to you. Like don't punch them or nothing. Okay? But nudge them and go, just lean in and just real softly, just go, "After." Oh, come on. There's something about the after of the cross. Because it was after the cross that everything changed. Everything. Come on, you can give God praise. Y'all just better buckle up, because I'm probably going to be bouncing from the stage to the floor to the back. And there ain't no telling. I may do like the old Pentecostal folks did when they ran on top of the pews. Okay, I may do that today. You never know. All right, because I'm excited. Because after the cross is when we get to celebrate. We mourn. Excuse me. We mourn that he had to go through it on Friday. But listen, Sunday's here, and we get to celebrate the fact that we've got an empty tomb that we can go to and say, "My God is not here, but he is alive today, and he is here to meet my needs. He paid every price. He paid everything that I would ever need. And now I get to walk in freedom because everything is changed." I ain't going to apologize for getting loud. I got somebody got on to me for that last year at Easter. I remember I was saying, I'm sorry, I'm getting loud. And they looked at me after service and said, don't you ever apologize for getting excited about Jesus. You know what? I'm going to stay with it. I'm so glad that the story didn't end on Friday, though. God gave us the greatest cliffhanger to a story that has ever been told. He gave us the greatest. It's sort of like a watermelon. And everybody's going, did he just have a stroke? I mean, what? The reason why I say a watermelon, any of y'all ever get lost on YouTube watching cat videos or whatever you watch? Am I the only one that's willing to admit that I get lost? Okay, we got a few of us. Okay. You get lost on there. And I got lost one day, and I ended up on a video of this guy putting rubber bands around a watermelon. Have y'all ever seen that? That's pretty intense. They're putting them around. First like 200 of them ain't no big deal. But next thing you know, you start seeing that watermelon start to bulge, and they're putting that thing around. They're snapping it on there and trying to get it to explode. And they're sitting there, and they put it on. And you're just sitting there waiting for it to pop. And you're like, come on, go. And I remember seeing one guy, he put one on, and every time he would do it, he'd go, pop. Well, not that one. That's the way Jesus was on Friday night. God gave us the greatest cliffhanger we could ever imagine. I can imagine the angels, after Jesus was taken down off the cross and put in the tomb, leaning over to God and go, is it time? Is it time? I mean, because they're ready to head on out. I can imagine the angel that's getting ready to roll the tomb away. He's standing by the side just waiting for that first glimpse of light just so that he can say, okay, it's daylight now. I can do it. And he gets excited about it. It's the greatest cliffhanger ever told. I guess I'm excited. After the cross, all creation held its breath, waiting for what was next. It was in the pregnant pause between the cross and the empty tomb that change was birthed in a spiritual realm. It was in that moment that change was birthed. It was in the silence of Saturday. We don't hear one thing about what went on Saturday. We don't hear one thing about what went on. They even call it Silent Saturday. Because you don't hear anything about the cross. You don't hear anything about the tomb on that day. Everybody went about their business like life had just continued. It was in the silence of that Saturday that the heavens were drawing breath for the greatest shout of victory that the world has ever heard. And when that silence was broken is when real change happened. Romans chapter 5. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm skipping ahead. I just realized. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, you can turn your Bible on your phone, whatever you need to do. But if you don't have your Bibles with you, we got it on the screens. So you can read it with us. It says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. How'd you like to be known as the other Mary? Well, there's Mary Magdalene, then there's the other Mary. But the other Mary went out to visit at the tomb. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. You know, some of us need to learn. We don't need to stand behind the things that block us into our grave, but we need to sit on top of them and tell them, to show them who's in charge. You got to show your enemy who's in charge. That's for free. I better stay with Scripture, otherwise I'm going to go off on all kinds of tangents today. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. I bet they did. And they fell into a dead faint. In other words, They went, whoo. Hopefully that didn't tear it up. There we go. But they fell into a dead faint. The angel spoke to the woman, said, do not be afraid, or don't be afraid. Sure. Your face looks like lightning. You're wearing white, and all these other guys are laying around like they're dead, but I'm not going to be afraid. But he said, don't be afraid. And I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. I got news for you. He still ain't there. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Can somebody give God praise by the fact that he isn't there anymore? Change came in a moment. You see, what happened after the cross, everybody say after. After the cross changed bondage into freedom. Everybody's like, what do you mean by that? Because we were in bondage before the cross. But after the cross, we had a tool in our hand that we could be set free with. From the moment Adam and Eve crossed the line of disobedience, you and I both have been in bondage. Genesis chapter 3 tells of when they ate the fruit and lost their brains and did something stupid, decided to do something God didn't want them to do, and God pronounced judgment. Man would have to work and eat by the sweat of his brow and the toil of his labor. Woman would have to bear children, but with much anguish and with pain. Ladies, aren't y'all happy about that? Right now, I need to be careful. But both were forced to endure physical death as well as the spiritual death of being separated from God. Through that one act of the first man and woman, we inherited something that we never wanted and that God never intended for us to have. We were never meant to possess a sinful nature. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Sidebar. Guys, can we just talk for a minute, the men in the room? Those of us that sit there and say, if Eve had done that, what does that say? When Adam sinned. It didn't say when Eve sinned. It says when Adam sinned. God gave instructions to Adam. And it was Adam's job to make sure to pass the instructions on. I'm not saying that he didn't. But what I'm saying is we need to stop pointing the finger at somebody else and realize our sin is our own. Our sin is our own. Adam is the reason our flesh thinks that it's in charge. Before the cross, we could not truly be free. This was the reason for the sacrifices and the rituals. It's the reason why they had to sacrifice doves and lambs and goats and all the other kinds of animals and turtle doves and all this kind of stuff. They had to sacrifice all that because there was no remission of sin without shedding of blood. It was the reason for the Day of Atonement and the bringing of the animals to shed blood. From the moment Christ sacrificed himself on the cross, though, the curse that we were under was broken. The chains that once held us were broken. The things that once held us down to this earth were broken. The things that once had us under its foot were then now put underneath our feet that we can stomp all over and step all over and dance all over and jump all over because we are now have been changed. The sinful nature and the curse spoken over Adam and Eve no longer hold sway over us. Going back to Romans 5, it says, and the result of God's gracious gift. What is God's gracious gift? His gift was Jesus Christ. The result of his gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free, everybody say free. We all like stuff when it's free. But it says, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. And though we were guilty of many sins, even though we were guilty of many sins, we were made right. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. He messed up. Can we just agree on that? But Jesus said, let me fix that. And he changed everything. But even greater, the end of verse 17, but even greater is God's wonderful grace in his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. You don't have to live under the curse of sin on your life anymore. God changed your bondage into freedom. Jesus Christ changed your bondage into freedom. I'm not saying that you're not going to struggle against sin. Lord knows we're going to struggle against sin. There are days that I don't feel like being a Christian. Can we testify? Okay, we got a few of us that are real. There's days I don't feel like being nice to certain people at certain days. There's days that I don't feel like getting up and doing my devotion. There's days I don't feel like being a pastor. I love the church. I love the church people. But sometimes sheep bite. There's sometimes that you don't want to be a pastor. And I struggle sometimes with the sin in my own life. Just because I have REV in front of my name doesn't mean I'm perfect. What you see is what you get. And what you see is a fallible person who will make mistakes. What you see is a person who will make the wrong step at times. But that person is also covered by the blood of Jesus Christ that says, even though you make a mistake, I still love you. Even though you mess up, I still care for you. When what I'm saying is that after the cross, there was a weapon put in our hands that no enemy can win against. There was a key placed in the locks of the chains that fit perfectly into the lock, and that busted those chains right off of our arms and off of our hands. There was a key that was placed there. It was the blood of Jesus. It was the blood of Christ. The love of a Savior and the power of a King that said enough is enough. In Colossians 1 it says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Come on, somebody. We are no longer beholden to our past nature or to the sins of our past or to the spiritual consequences that they have. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's all wiped away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We did that song Friday night, and it was so true. There is nothing that can wipe it away except for his blood. After the cross, through his sacrifice, his blood, and his resurrection, he changed our bondage into freedom that cannot be taken away and it cannot be revoked. The price is paid, the ticket is stamped, and God has spoken. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If God has set you free, you are free. What happened after the cross was he changed bondage into freedom, but then he also changed death into life. He changed death into life. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus tangle with the biggest and the baddest of them all. We can list all of the enemies that that Jesus faced. The who's who of Jesus' opponents. He stepped into the ring against diseases and sickness, against leprosy. He stepped in against palsy. He stepped in against all kinds of diseases. And he knocked every one of them out. He went up against the baddest of the bad, the lame, the blind, the sick. He went up against all of those sicknesses, yet he came out unscathed. We see that he also fought against the religious leaders who pointed a finger at him and said, "You're not doing it the way it's supposed to be done. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not saying the things that you're supposed to say, and you're leading people astray." And they pointed a finger and started judging him and judging the people around him. And he stepped into the ring against them and looked at him and said, wait a minute. And they looked at him and they even asked him, Jesus calmly but firmly puts them back in their place. They looked at him and said, "By whose authority do you do these things that you do? That do you heal? By whose authority are you able to forgive sins? By whose authority do you do this and do that?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "Well, listen, by whose authority does John baptize?" And he got them thinking. They're like, "Well, listen, if we say it's from God, then the people are going to wonder why we didn't pay attention. If we say it's from man, then there might be a riot because of all the miracles that are happening." So we don't, and they turned and they said, "We don't really know." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Well, if you can't tell me, then I'm not going to tell you by whose authority I do it in." He put them in their place. That was in Luke 20, if you want to go look it up later on. They were always trying to trap him. Again, the biggest and the baddest. He cast out demons and gave people back their lives, that like the madman of Gadara in Mark 5 and Luke 8. That's the guy that ran around naked, cutting himself with stones, lived in the tombs. If you haven't read that story, go and look it up. But he went through all of this, and he asked them, "What is your name?" And they said, "My name is Legion, because we are many." And he cast them out into a herd of pigs. He went up against the biggest and the baddest. Let's not forget that the very first enemy that he faced when he was baptized by John, the very next scripture says that he went into the wilderness and he had a conversation with the devil. And he was tempted by the devil in three different ways. That's in Matthew chapter 4. He went and faced the ultimate enemy. In Matthew 4, he even tangled with death on three different occasions. Jairus' daughter in Mark 5, the widow's son in Luke, widow of Nain in Luke 7, and then Lazarus, his good friend, in John 11. He tangled with death, but on the cross, Jesus uttered his last words, and it looked like death had finally defeated him. I love that song that we did today, "You Cannot Be Stopped." Death tried to keep you inside of the grave, but death didn't win, y'all. Death didn't win. Somebody say, "Death didn't win." Jesus, it looks like he had lost. Luke 23, 46. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with these words, he breathed his last. Jesus was just preparing for a dramatic finish. Any of y'all know somebody that's dramatic? Don't point at him. My daughter's not here. I can't pick on her. I always call my daughter the drama queen. I love her to death, but she can let it go sometimes. But then again, she gets it honest, because I can too. Thank you, Amy, for agreeing with that. I'm going to need marriage counseling after this today. But Jesus was preparing for a dramatic finish. The final enemy he had to defeat wasn't a Pharisee judging him. It wasn't a disease that was making life miserable for people. It wasn't even the demons that were shouting victory and celebrating his demise. The final enemy was the period at the end of the sentence, where the devil decided, "This is it. Go no further. You're done." Where the enemy says, your task is completed, you're not going to do anything else. The one that said, "You go no further than this, your story ends here." The one that says, "Life ends for you today." That's what his final enemy was. was death. When Christ rose from the dead, he declared once and for all, my story isn't over yet. Some of us need to stand up and tell the enemy right now, quit putting a period where there's supposed to be a comma, because my story is not going to finish right here. It's beginning right here. This is just a new chapter that Jesus is turning the page on some kind of struggle that I'm dealing with. But in the end, it's going to be a victory for me. I've got news for you, church. There ain't no devil on the first two pages of the Bible. There ain't no devil on the last two pages of the Bible. We win! And I just realized I looked like I was mad as I could be just then. I'm not. I'm excited. I promise you. I ain't going to be able to talk after service. I'm going to do sign language. Whew. Jesus replaced the period with a comma. Where the curse of spiritual death and separation from Christ once had control over our story, now an eternal life waited for his people. Ephesians 2 says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised us. Or raise Christ from the dead. We were the walking dead. We just wasn't rotten. Any of y'all ever seen that show? Got these guys walking around, all that kind of stuff. We were the spiritually walking dead. But Christ breathed new life into us. He defeated death, hell, and the grave once and for all. Verse 6 says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. We are no longer held captive by death. He holds no sway on us. Christ has changed the ending of our story, and we're not stuck with what we deserve anymore. Because let's admit it, we deserve death. We deserve separation. But the grace of God. But the mercy of a Savior. Church, listen, I'm closing. We have a choice for our ending. Sort of like the old books when I was growing up. I love to read. I absolutely love to read. I love fiction books. I've read all kinds of fiction stuff, and I especially love medieval or fantasy type books, that kind of thing. I like that kind of stuff. I don't know why, but it's just in me. And I used to get these books that were the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Do y'all remember those? Those are the coolest things. How many of y'all do not know what that is? Be honest. Raise your hand. Okay. All right, those of you that don't know, what it is that you would go through and you would get to the end of a chapter or the end of a page, and there would be a decision that the main character or that the character in the story was supposed to make. And you got to make the decision. Because it's like if the hero, let's say his name was Aaron. I'm kidding. Let's say his name was John. The hero John had to decide whether to go into the castle and fight the dragon or go in through the side door and sneak around. He had to make a choice between the two. And on one side of the page it said, if you choose to go in and fight, turn to page 302. If you choose the side door, turn to page 108. And it would take you through different places. Whichever one you chose, there would be a certain outcome. Sometimes it would be that you chose the wrong one and your character would die. Sometimes it would be that you would choose the right one and your character would go in and save the damsel and marry off and live happily ever after and all this other kind of stuff. Our story is like that. Jesus Christ gave us an option. He gave us an option where you can choose your own adventure. He doesn't force us to accept him. He doesn't force us into serving him. He doesn't force us into making choices for Him. But what He does is He gives us the option. And He keeps giving us options throughout our life. We get to choose our story. See, before the cross, our story was set. Before the cross, there was no option for us. There was one outcome. But after the cross, Christ provided the change in the story. He provided everything you would need. Before the cross, He prepared for every contingency. He made sure the conditions were perfect and everything was in order for the holy sacrifice that must be made. During the cross, His love was on display, and it prompted Him to endure the anguish, the humiliation of death, and that He didn't deserve. All so that after the cross, He could rewrite the story of your life. Where there was once bondage, there was now freedom. Where there was once death, there is now life. If you understand me, say I do. Stand with me today. You might be in this room and this is the first time you've been in church in a while. Because we have a lot of guests that are here. We have a lot of people that maybe you come on a semi-regular basis, but you know what? God is pricking your heart right now and saying, listen, I did this for you. I set this up for you. I prepared the way to the cross for you. Not only that, I displayed my love for you so that you could understand not the pain that I went through. Because yes, there was pain in my life during that time. But I want you to understand the love that I have for you so that you could realize after I did what I did, you no longer have to wear those chains. See, that's the thing. In our choose your own adventure, we can choose to keep our chains. We can choose to leave them on. We can blame society. We can blame our parents. We can blame people that we run into. We can blame our friends. We can blame anybody we want to and say, it's their fault that I have these chains because I'm an alcoholic because it's in my blood. It's in my genetics. I cuss because my parents cussed at me all the time. I'm hooked on these drugs because my friends got me hooked on these drugs. I'm not real dedicated to church because my parents never really showed me how important it was. And nobody ever really showed me what I was supposed to really live like. You can't blame someone else for your chains that you won't let go of. When Jesus has put the key in your hand. His blood is in your hand. It's up to you to turn the key. By saying, Jesus, I accept your grace. Jesus, I accept your mercy. I accept your forgiveness. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today, and today you need to accept His grace and mercy. Because you need to turn your bondage into freedom. Because you need to turn that spiritual death into life. If that's you today and you say, I need to turn the key. And I accept what Jesus has done for me. If that's you and you want to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior today, all I ask you to do is raise your hand real briefly and put it right back down. Right now, thank you. Anybody else? Is there anybody else? Will anybody join these? Listen, let God deal with your heart today. Don't sit there and point a finger saying, I'm okay, I'm not that bad. It's not about being that bad. It's about being that saved. It's about being that free. It's about being set free. anyone else. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the hands that were just raised. I thank you for those that didn't raise their hand. That God, they're at least in the right place at the right time to hear the gospel. God, today, let them make sure that they choose the right adventure. That they choose freedom. That they choose life.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.